You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, Donald Trump prepares for a major trade deal announcement. The US holds official interest rates, and we take a look at bank reporting season. All that and more next. Hi everyone, it is Thursday, the 8th of May 2025. The Australian share market rising today, but only just by 0.16% on the S&P ASX 200. That's at 8,191. It did, however, open in the red, but was pulled into the black late in the morning after a post by Donald Trump on his social media website Truth Social, which said, "Big news conference tomorrow morning, the Oval Office, concerning a major trade deal with representatives of a big and highly respected country, the first of many." So for more on that and the implications of the US Federal Reserve leaving official interest rates on hold, I spoke with Josh Gilbert, market analyst at eToro. Josh, so the US Federal Reserve held interest rates overnight, saying it's in no rush to adjust them, giving risks to higher unemployment and inflation. Is the reason why interest rates in the US didn't fall all relating to US tariff policy?
Look, I think a big part of it is to that sort of tariff policy. It's creating a lot of uncertainty across the globe. And Jerome Powell sort of pointed that last night. He sort of said that this could be something that's short-lived with tariffs, or it could be something that's persistent and coming through to, you know, inflation, which obviously is a big concern for the Federal Reserve that has spent the last couple of years obviously fighting inflation. And the hardest thing here is that no one has a crystal ball. The Fed is not really sure where tariffs are going to land. And, you know, when they land, they're not really sure what the consequences are going to be, you know, from a growth perspective against an inflation perspective as well. So I think what we're seeing is that the Fed doesn't want to act too abruptly or make the wrong move here. I think they're making the right call by sort of standing pat and seeing how we sort of play out over the months ahead. We're obviously seeing policy change from day to day. We're obviously also seeing that Trump is sort of rolling back on some of these, you know, policies potentially as well. So look, the right move, obviously a lot of uncertainty there. But I think the good thing here is that the Fed have the flexibility to be able to move as and when they need to.
So what does that mean for market expectations of further interest rate cuts in the US and the potential implications for investors?
Yeah, look, the expectations for cuts have sort of changed pretty significantly. We're seeing it change day to day. Markets, you know, aren't really seeing a cut until at least July, and there's only sort of an 80% chance, you know, that we get one in July. And I think, as I said, the beauty for the Fed is that they've got that flexibility. I think how we see it is if there's no rate cut by sort of June, which is obviously next month, we've got back-to-back meetings that the Fed, we think, may stay on hold until October. That would then give them the time to sort of evaluate, you know, how much of the sort of second quarter's activity was sort of front-loaded and coming from the expectation that we may see a slowdown in Q3 growth. We saw GDP slow down just in the last sort of couple of weeks in the US as well. So I think until then, any near-term economic, you know, impact from trade, fiscal or regulatory levers will sort of play a big part. I think from an investor perspective, it's twofold, right? You know, if we're seeing expectations on rate cuts move back, that's maybe taking a little bit of risk off the table. And I think that means that we're going to continue to see sort of uncertainty around inflation and volatility sort of stay as a key theme. I think it just means for investors staying diversified and ultimately keeping risk there, but not overloading on risk.
Can you talk about how this is all playing out on the currency markets? Because the US has fallen in recent times, and there are even some suggestions it may fall out of favor as the world's reserve currency.
Yeah, maybe a time to bring Bitcoin into the conversation, maybe, Ricardo. But the dollar is sort of seeing weakness on that expectation that we're sort of seeing, you know, the, you know, potential rate cuts coming through, although we might get a bit of positivity coming through from the dollar, given that rate cut expectations are now being sort of pushed back. The reason I think we're seeing a lot of weakness in the dollar is coming from stronger currencies. So the euro, the yen, the pound even, they're sort of benefiting from sort of improving outlooks. From a perspective of sort of moving out of favor as sort of that reserve currency. Look, I think there's plenty of chatter around that. I don't think that that's a sort of a debate for the short term. I think that's more of a long-term debate, you know, and I think that the dollar still dominates from a global trade, financial perspective, reserves, I think what we are going to see, though, with these trade tensions is that we're going to see ongoing efforts from countries to sort of diversify. You know, I think that may be from, you know, buying more gold, settling trade in local currencies. So I think that will pick up the conversation around maybe moving away from the dollar. But I think, again, over time, I think it's going to be slow, and it certainly won't happen in the short term anyway.
The other key thing on the market today are these expectations that Donald Trump has signaled, or he has signaled on his Truth Social website, that there's a major trade deal set to come tomorrow, right? Once he made that post, the Australian share market rose about 0.4% in the space of a few moments. To what extent has investor sentiment shifted given these reports that, you know, there may be some deals ahead?
Yeah, look, we've certainly seen sentiment shift over the last sort of couple of weeks, and that's certainly moved to a more risk-on approach. If we look at the S&P 500, you know, just last week, 9 straight days of gains over the past sort of 2 weeks for the S&P 500, nearly about a 10% rally in that time as well. So that's coming from this idea that trade tensions appear to be easing. I think we're seeing that Trump is signaling a willingness to negotiate, which is very, very important. And that is helping lift sentiment sort of across risk assets. And obviously, particularly here for us locally as well, right? If we sort of see those tensions between the US and China ease, that's very good news for us from a local perspective, given how much reliance that we do have from an economic perspective on China. I think we can see really from a risk perspective, that markets have shifted. If we look at Bitcoin, a great indicator of risk, we're nearing back to $100,000. And if we look at the ETF flows into IBIT, which is the world's largest Bitcoin ETF, it was this, we saw in the last week, the second largest inflows across any of the ETFs globally. So that's a big sign of risk. And I think if we continue to get more clarity from a trade perspective, combined with a backdrop of a US economy that seems to be in pretty good shape, I think that sort of the rally we're seeing in markets can continue.
In terms of company news today, ANZ, last of the big banks to report, cash profit up 12% to $3.57 billion. What's your take on the banks and the reporting season at the moment? Because we've been discussing over the past few weeks the potential for a lot of the banks to be overvalued, particularly the Commonwealth Bank, which recently has been hitting record highs.
Yeah, I think Commonwealth Bank is arguably one of the most expensive banks in the world at the moment. And I think what we're clearly seeing is that top line growth is slowing. Net interest margins sort of coming off their peaks a little bit. But the good thing here is that capital positions remain pretty strong. And dividends, importantly, and that's the big one here, they're holding up. And I think that's exactly what a lot of investors wanted to see. We're definitely going to see that, you know, these banks sort of face some challenges moving forward, especially with the view that rates are expected to sort of come down here locally. But I think they're proving that they can navigate what is still a high interest rate environment. And I think they're doing that better than many had expected. I think we've also seen some commentary from those sort of big banks around sort of cautious borrowing behavior among businesses, but also at the same time, some positivity and the stability that we're also getting from that sort of election outcome locally as well. So look, some pretty decent results, I would say, all in all from the banks. We've also got Macquarie coming through tomorrow. A bit of a focus there. We think their sort of results should be pretty good, particularly coming from a perspective of sort of trading volumes in, you know, the first quarter, plenty of turbulent markets, as we know. So we think that will boost trading income for Macquarie, you know, profits jumping there as well. So yeah, a pretty good result all in all.
And finally, given, you know, we're still in a relatively volatile trading environment, what are you telling your clients at the moment? And are there any opportunities for investors?
Yeah, well, I think firstly is that we're you know, to keep a close eye on trade negotiations and tariff announcements, right? We're seeing that, you know, a tweet from Trump can sort of change things straight away. And I think that we think that any trade truces will continue to spark relief rallies. We saw on our platform Australian investors buying the dip in US stocks throughout April rather than panic selling. And that seems to be a bit of a prudent move, especially with that sort of recent rally that we've seen. Big focus on AI stocks, you know, Nvidia, Taiwan Semiconductor, these names. And I also think that, you know, big tech earnings within the last sort of couple of weeks as well, they've sort of been a really bullish sign that these companies can show that they can navigate some pretty hefty market uncertainty, you know, whether that's costs or tariffs, and they're investing for future growth. So we see opportunities, you know, in those sort of AI tech names, especially with as any weakness that comes through. And we also see opportunities in some sort of smaller cap sectors as well, especially given the expectation of these trade sort of uncertainties easing a little bit. They sold off quite heavily. So we see some value there as well.
is Josh Gilbert there from eToro. Don't forget to give this podcast a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.